Hey guys, how's it going? President of CG Consulting here. My name is Connor Gilson, and lately we've been talking a lot about mindset. We've gone over quite a few interesting points on how to pretty much identify limiting beliefs, and then last night we talked about how to kind of pull out limiting beliefs and to get rid of them, but also install new beliefs that help us. And tonight, we're going to be talking about a few things that can kind of get away, or get in our way rather, to that process. Things like blame or comparing or things like that. So let's jump into that information really quick. I think that when we start building these new structures inside of our mind, we will run into a lot of these problems. And it's a normal, natural human thing to do. It's not a sign that you're weak or you're bad or that you're not making forward progress. I just want to identify these so that when they do pop up, you can notice them, and then really work on correcting them or helping fix it, and it'll make just kind of your journey in this department a little bit easier. So, first thing we're going to talk about is blaming. I feel that most humans are blaming either something or someone for their current life situation. And it's really not our fault. Blame is so accepted in our society because people live under this false notion that the external world has way more power than it actually has. And if you don't understand your internal power inside yourself to create whatever meaning that you like from those external inputs, it's going to seem logical to blame an external event or an external occurrence or something that happens to you or even a person for the emotional states you are feeling. And that's really, when you think about it, blame really only has really one function. And that one function only. And it's to deny responsibility of your present moment, which we talked about a couple nights ago about staying in the present moment. But it denies the responsibility of your present moment because it's too painful to realize that you are, in fact, the responsibility for that hurt and that feeling that you're experiencing. And I think people don't understand that blame is actually a double-edged sword. Reason why is because on one side it'll give you this justification for why you can't do what you really want to do. It gives you this comfort zone where you don't have to take responsibility for your current life situation. A lot of people like that feeling of comfort and having something tangible they can point to as an explanation for the decreased quality of their life. Something happens, they want to point to it and be like, this is why, people blame God, people blame Satan, people blame society, people blame their spouse, people blame their coworkers, their boss. That's a big one. They'll blame their boss on a lot of things. And I have been at times, guilty or had that problem as well. But the reality is, we need to focus on who we are inside and that definition and those new beliefs that we have, and that will kind of shield us against blaming others. And with blaming others, we put a shield around what we want. Because say you're working and you blame, maybe your coworkers aren't the nicest to you, maybe your leaders in that job or in that business or whatever are overpowering. They constantly tell you what to do. We start to take that inside us, and then we start getting kind of frustrated, and then it takes our focus off of what we want to do and our focus, our goals, and we start redirecting our focus to all these external events, and that takes us away. Because if you've ever driven your car and you look left for too long, you'll start going left. And same thing if you're looking right. And the interesting thing is that wherever we're looking, that's where we're going to tend to go. So if we're looking at the drama of crap that's going on and it's affecting our lives and we choose not to redirect and move on, Whether it's something as much as quitting a job that we no longer find joy in and it's interfering with our quality of life, or whether it's, just tuning those people out and focusing on us and focusing on our strategy and plan. Same thing with business. Maybe sometimes it's our customers that tick us off. Maybe it's our employees, and we focus on that. And going back to the whole blame thing, sometimes as a business owner, we will blame our employees for faults that we should be taking responsibility for. That's one thing I think everybody should learn as far as in business. If you are the company owner, all the faults, sorry to let you know, you're gonna have to take credit for them. Because as a leader, if you then show your team that you are focusing and blaming them for the fault, even if it is their fault, if you're face to face with a customer or with a client and you say, "Oh no, this is my employee's fault," you blow up everything. Just you do. Because one, even if it is your employee, if it is your employee's fault, they're going to feel bad that they made the mistake, and then you're pushing it onto them. Also, they're going to kind of resent you because you're not taking full responsibility of something. You're pushing it off onto them, which even if they felt bad and they understand that the mistake was theirs, a lot of the time they will kind of internalize that and feel, "Oh, well, you didn't have to just push it all off onto me." Number two, the biggest thing is for your clients, they will see that you don't take responsibility for things. You're the company owner, you're the leader. It's like time back, a long time ago when wars were going on, the leader usually led from the front. They were on the horse, they were with the men, things like that. And that still happens with war these days. You have leaders, but the most of the like top, the top, the brass or whatever, they're going to be on like an on either in a different area, either in a communication center, something like that. And that's how war is just kind of fought now. But back in the day, even the top, even the brass was out there fighting. Look at something like George Washington. For the most part, he was out there fighting. There's countless examples of that in the past. But going back to that double-edged sword, we get that blame that gives us this comfort zone that if something goes wrong, we can easily, "Look, that was it. I blame that." Whether it's a person or a situation or things like that. But the problem with that is on the other side of that coin, or on the other side of that sword, however, blame will take away every single ounce of your personal power. If you blame other things, it will take away your power. And to kind of focus on that and open that up a little bit, once again, it goes to us what we tell our mind. So the first time we blame something, it's not going to sink into our psyche that hard. If we blame something, then like, an outcome situation, something like that, it's there. And there's sometimes it's reasonable to blame other things. I mean, if somebody walks up and shoots you, you're not like, "Oh, I was clearly asking for this." Like, that's not how that works. There are times where exterior things will happen to you that you can blame other events other than yourself. But there's a lot of things where there usually is, there's a little part where you had, kind of effect or kind of input on the situation. Not so much the shooting thing, but if they one of the things that I learned is like if your marriage mate or your girlfriend or your boyfriend cheats on you, part of it was kind of your fault. You missed signs, they were trying to tell you things, and I know that's a very conflicting, controversy matter for me to say that, but that is what if it's a two-way street. Same thing in business. Partnerships break up all the time. It's usually not just 100% one person's fault. It's usually partly the other person's as well. So, but as we do that, as we start blaming something, it gets easier and easier. So even let's bring it back to blaming an employee for something. Say you love this employee and you care about them, the first time you blame them, it's going to sting a little bit. It's going to hurt. You're not going to like it. Even your psyche, your mind will usually reject it. Like you'll say the words like, "Oh, this is my employee's fault," or "Oh, this is my, this is my team's fault," or whatever. And your mind may like kind of shrink back from it, like, "Oh, why did you say that?" But the more you do it, the more often it happens. And now if this is something like if your life is going bad and bad things keep happening to you constantly, which is what seems to happen with me, if something goes bad, it's just like a chain effect and just a bunch of things fall apart. But if you get into the blame mentality of, "Oh, woe is me," like some force is like wants has it out for me, or my manager has it out for me, or God, or the law of attraction, or something is like this always happens to me, then it becomes a thought pattern because you're telling your mind over and over again that it's okay to do that, which it's not okay to do that. Like I said, there's times where blame is okay, but 90% of the time, it's not okay. And there's always a little bit of something that you can learn from it to apply it so you don't run that mistake again. And that's the interesting thing. Life keeps teaching us the same lessons over and over again until we master them. But by constantly blaming stuff, we get rid of all our power. If we think it's like an external force, whether it's a spirit being, whether it's an energy force, whether it's just Murphy's Law, I've heard so many different things. If you believe that, you feel powerless. Because you can do all this work, you can put all these hours in, you can strive really hard, but something has it out for me. Something has it out for me, and I can't control that. And whenever it wants to rear its ugly head and beat the crap out of me, I can't stop it. See, there's all your power. So, blame, we got to be very, very careful of not letting it control us in that way. In fact, blame can be caught on. Or taught or even picked up subconsciously. There was a study where participants were split into two groups. Each of them got news clips containing a statement by Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger talking about a failure. In one of the statements, the governor took absolute full responsibility for the failure. And in the other, he blamed the special interest groups of the time. Later in the study, the participants that had to write about an unrelated, like, personal failure that they had in their own lives and explain the reasons behind it. Now, the interesting thing was participants who have saw the clip in which the governor blamed the special interest groups were twice as likely to blame someone else for their personal failure as the participants in the other group. So humans are very absorbent minds. They have very absorbent minds. There was actually a study, another study that was done where people were shown pictures that associated to old age, like walkers, being blind, like losing eyesight, losing hearing. They were shown like pictures of like old people. They watched like clips of old people. And the people that watched that, and then the people that were shown other things, like younger people, the interesting part was when the study was over, as they were walking away down the hallway, they were being monitored as how fast they were walking. The people had watched all these clips and been conditioned to the older, like the focus on older people versus the ones that were focused on younger people. The ones that had focused or that had been shown all the older people type stuff, type content, they actually walked at a slower pace when they left versus the ones that were shown other content. And the interesting thing was with our minds, when we think of old people, one of the core pillar things that pop into our head is their slowness or they're not all that fast walking, moving, reacting to things like that. And that was subconsciously being picked up, and it was affecting how they were walking down a hallway. So that's interesting. I'm gonna sneeze, so I'm gonna cover my mic. Oh no, it went away. Okay. My sneezes are super loud, so I'm always like super careful, like on my podcast, but with the window open, I have like a little bit of allergies, but so some questions that you can really ask yourself to see if you have blaming characteristics are, what are some things that I absolutely can't stand in others? I love that question. What things do I view as weaknesses in others? Is it possible that I have some of these same traits or perceived weaknesses and I just don't want to recognize them? So that's interesting, right? Like we think about things that we hate about others, and then we think about if we have those traits ourselves. Now, one of my favorite teachings is if you want to get under somebody's skin, do what they do to other people to try to annoy them, do it back to them. It is the most powerful way to literally send waves through a human being. If somebody doesn't like, if somebody like will become passive aggressive when they don't like somebody, become passive aggressive to them and they will go nuts. Most people that like to pick on people and bully people cannot handle it back. It's just a thing that humans do. It's a tell as far as like what ticks us off, or what they use to tick off other people usually ticks them off. But then it can be used in this way too. There's the flip side of it. A lot of the things that tick us off, we have in ourselves. Like, I'm a very dominant, very aggressive, forward focusing person. And certain, I don't want, yeah, certain types of people from different, what's the word? Different backgrounds, different areas of this world that are dominant and like that as well, tend to annoy me. It's funny because I'm very, very dominant and assertive. That's because of my business and I'm a firstborn and things like that. But when people do it to me, I'm not always too happy about it. Let's say that. So we gotta look into ourselves and see what things that we don't like about other people, are we doing them? And then is it possible that I can't stand something about others because it is a reminder of some of my own unmet needs? So taking responsibility for our lives, doing self-reflection, finding things that we aren't really that good at or we need improvement on. And there's some things that you aren't good at that you shouldn't work on. Like I said, and I said this before, jack of all trades, master of none. There's certain things that you should not try to be good at. Especially if you run your own business. You should not be the person that cleans the toilets, the person that fixes the plumbing, the electricity, the person that does the marketing, the person that answers all the phone calls, the person that organizes your calendar sometimes. Like there's reason people have special skills, and that's what makes a great company, is by finding the skills that you aren't good at and finding and hiring somebody that does it. For example, I've gotten better at it just because I type a lot and I write emails and newsletters and things like that, but I'm still very bad at it. And I usually have most of my press releases and letters and emails proofread. I am horrible, absolutely trash at spelling and grammar. So much so that when I first started forming my company and I'd post places, people would make fun of me and say that there's no way I will ever become a successful business owner because I don't know how to spell or use grammar and that I'm an idiot. That point, it kind of bothered me and it kind of stung. But as I started getting better at what I was good at, I started hiring people to proofread. And then my comments to people like that, I was like, "Nah, don't worry. I have people. People like you, I hire. Like people like you, I hire to, when I'm actually doing something regarding my business." Yeah, that was a was I needed to chill out a little bit there, huh? But taking responsibility for our life is one of the most mature things that we can ever do. And once you start doing it, once you start utilizing that and taking responsibility for you, you'll notice how many humans in this world, how many adults that are completely irresponsible in society. They have no responsibility for their own life. They blame everything. Have reasons why they can't be successful and things like that. So, I mean, and it's kind of difficult because I think a lot of people are going to think that, hey, I have my own place, I have a job, I have a car, But that doesn't mean that you're taking full responsibility of your life. You can have all those things and be completely irresponsible with your life and completely irresponsible with your self-worth and completely irresponsible with your mindset and your focus. Taking full responsibility for your life means that you stop blaming external situations and events and step up to the plate, so to speak, as the ultimate creator of your life experience. Like I said, our minds are the most incredible pieces of machinery on this planet. And if we step up to the plate and take credit for everything about us, including our flaws, and taking responsibility for that, that's how we create the most amazing life experience. No one else can create your life experience. In fact, even if you're the type of person that's incredibly passive and takes stuff and blames every single thing and you're just being pushed around by fate or you're being controlled by something constantly, you are still in charge of that life experience. Yes, it's being shaped by other things, but it's because you're allowing it to happen. That's the thing. Like I've said, our mind is the gate, and we have to accept something before it gets installed as a belief, before it can actually mean something to us. So nothing can create purpose and experience for our life. We do that. So taking full responsibility is about realizing that you are responsible for every single one of your emotions, thoughts, and your actions. I'll say that one more time. Taking full responsibility is about realizing that you are responsible for every single one of your emotions, thoughts, and actions. And there are really, it boils down to two ways to take responsibility for your life. Either you do something to change that situation that you're unhappy about, or you stop being unhappy about it. So if you're unhappy about a situation, it's time to get up and do something about it. It's time to take action. Think about Nike's slogan, just do it, or whatever. If it is not causing you enough pain to do something about it, then stop your whining. Stop your complaining. Stop being a little baby. If you're not going to put the effort in to change it, then stop. And just accept that you have chosen this situation for yourself, because that is what it is. That is 100% what it is. If you don't want to get off your butt and start working towards something that you don't like and you complain about constantly, that's what I love about people that constantly complain about their jobs. Get a new job, okay? Start looking today. Go find somewhere new. It's not that hard. The economy's doing pretty good right now. Or people that say, I don't like working for someone. Then work for yourself. And it's crazy stupid easy now. Like, it's crazy stupid easy. There are so many ways that you can work for yourself. But it takes hustle. It takes work. You can go to tag sales and flea markets and find cheap stuff that is being sold. Look on eBay and on Amazon and see what things are being sold for more. And you can take that and you can sell it. You can take a piece of crappy furniture that's all beat up. You can sand it down, repaint it, and sell it for profit. Yeah, you're not going to make thousands and thousands of dollars unless you work your butt off, unless you work as hard as possible. That's perfect. But there's other things, like taking surveys. When I worked in Best Buy, there was this girl who would go around and scan barcodes on, I think it was it Kickster? I forgot what it was, some app. And you scan barcodes constantly and you actually make money. There's places where you can take surveys, like I said, and you can make money. Uber, drive your car, go make. On the weekends, you can make $20 or $30 an hour if you know what you're doing, if you put in the time and research what areas are good and stuff. It's easy. So if you don't like your job and you don't like working for someone and you feel you're an entrepreneur, start there. Start somewhere small. Or just start doing it partly. That's what I did with Uber. And now I have it where if I want to make extra money for my business, then boom, that's what I can do. And I like it. I like it a lot more than working for someone else. I do. I always will. I was never made. I was not designed. I was not set up to be working for someone else. I can fall in line and I can obey. And there is very few great leaders that I have experienced while working for other people. Ones that I can think of is Scott Perry. He owned a dairy farm. And I worked on that dairy farm, and that guy taught me what work was. He taught me what working and hustling is, where you wake up super early, 4 in the morning, and you work and you work and work. And at 12, you take a little bit of a break, maybe take a nap for an hour, and then you get back to work and you work until like 12, 2 in the morning. That's work. And that's not work. Like, I'll say it. The work that I do now in my business, I work sometimes 15 to 19 hours a day. The work that I do with my business is nothing compared to that. Because that was hard, grueling stuff. Working out in the summer at 90 degrees with no, like, really fans or like air conditioning, out in the elements, pushing things that were much heavier than me, dealing with cows that were ticked off and wanted to like plow me down, constantly lifting 50-pound hay bales and throwing them, like just insane work. And in the winter, it wasn't even better because there's times where I was like working out there and I'm just covered in ice, like literally have ice just covering my jacket and then like melting into like my jacket and then refreezing again. It was crazy the amount of hard work. But that guy taught me how to work, and he taught me how to care, and he taught me how to see things differently and vividly. Recently, two leaders. One I met when I was working at Calvin Klein, Sal D'Angelo, who's actually the owner of Callus Media. I did a shout out a couple weeks ago. That guy, there's very few leaders in my life that impress me. Very few. Most of them drive me up the freaking wall because I was a better leader at 16 than most of them. I was senior vice president of a company managing teams and stuff like that from 16, 17, and 18, and then I started my own business. That's crazy. Even me thinking about it now, it's crazy. But Sal taught me a lot about how to have structure, how to embrace what type of worker you are. He worked his backside off. In fact, I ended up leaving Calvin Klein to go to Best Buy because of him, because I wanted to follow his leadership. So I very easily can follow under a very good leader, but that's the thing. They must be good. They must be better than me in quite a few areas for me to learn from them. And there's certain things, and like Ryan, who taught me how to build my business, and I learned from him and worked from him. He's an awesome expert and leader as well. And that's the thing. There are a lot of things that they were very, very much better than me at, but there's also things that I was good at. I was very good at psychology. I was very good at selling in a certain way. I was very good in Sal and Ryan and Scott, and another one I can think about is Doug. They pulled that out of me. They took that spark inside of me and made it grow. But once again, I was not made to work for other people. I wasn't. I'm an entrepreneur. I am a pure-blooded original entrepreneur. I've been an entrepreneur since I was a kid. Entrepreneur is such a hype thing now. Oh, you own your own company. Oh, I'm gonna own my own company. It's like sickening. It's like a fad now. And you know what's funny? When the economy goes to crap and all these fakes get whaled out, and honestly, if you are listening to this podcast and you are a fake, it will come. It will hit you. And one of two things are going to happen. You're going to straighten out and actually become real, or you're going to crack and break and go back to a normal job. Entrepreneurship is not about security. It's about taking a massive freaking risk, multiple risks, failing 90% of the time, and getting one really good hit, and where you get that up at bat and you do really good. But that's the thing. Things like blame, you can't have these in your head. They cannot be there. They can't. If you think you are going to be able to get through life with things like blame and then the other methods I'm going to be talking or other holdbacks that I'm going to be talking about tonight, you are going to be steamrolled. You're going to be steamrolled so stinking hard. So, like I said, if you're unhappy about a situation, get up and change it or stop complaining. I almost want to switch my podcast to explicit so I can really tell you how what I want to say. Stop complaining. Stop belly aching. Stop whining. Stop moaning. Do something. Get off your butt and do something. Or just suck it up and move forward. Another thing is like insults. When people insult us, we instead of just seeing what it is and then responding in any way we feel best, most people don't respond. They allow the other person's insult to reach their own internal insecurities and then react in a totally unconstructive way because they're under attack. You can only be under attack if you allow something to affect you. Isn't that interesting? You can only be under attack if somebody's yelling at you or saying something to you and you let that affect you. There's very few things that my parents taught me how to be the person I am. But as far as quotes go, they weren't really all that good at it. But one thing that my mom said was, words are just hot air. And it took me years to realize how freaking smart that is. Words are only hot air. The breath that comes out of us, warm air coming out of our chest, that is all it is. Me and you, you and I, let's say it correctly, you and I give the meaning to it. That's how words become more than warm breath. So you can only be under attack if you allow something to affect you. You allow someone to affect you. And I'm no God. I'm no pure example of this. I've gotten a lot better at it, and that's because I've noticed this and started working on it. But there's times where people say things and I'm just like, I still like flip out and go nuts. Now my thing is not acting, lashing out, unless it's super necessary, but not lashing out and internalizing it. But I need to work on internalizing it at the moment, walking away, and then finding a way to get rid of that negative energy that I've locked inside. So there's steps. I might be further along on this journey in this one department. There's probably things that you're better than me at. That's why I don't have podcasts about sewing or how to spell words correctly or how to use grammar correctly or math. Good God, podcasts on math, that would be horrible. So there's things that you are better than me at, but why I'm teaching this is because this is what I'm good at. And yes, I'm at a further point in the path, but I'm still moving forward. That's the interesting thing. You always want to move forward, especially if you're in consulting, because if you don't move forward, eventually everybody that's learning from you will eventually know everything you have, and then you're not of use to them. And I don't mean as a use to like, oh, I want to get more clients, things like that. I mean that you're no longer helping them. Remember what I said earlier in this podcast, 4 or 5 nights ago, that we, wow, I just lost my thought. And it's probably not going to come back either. Cool. Yep, it's gone. Awesome. Unedited, unfiltered podcasting. Gotta love it. No pausing and editing here, and when I pop that idea pops in my mind, I'll remember. But self-esteem and self-confidence, two things, right? Self-esteem is your unconditional value as a human being. You have value simply because you are a human being and you are alive. You have value, whether you want to believe it or not. A baby has value. A puppy has value. No, a puppy can't teach you anything. You might learn some lessons by it. You may go look at an ant and learn lessons from it, and it has value because it does that, but it doesn't have something like self-confidence. So self-esteem, you have value because you're simply alive. You're a human being. Self-esteem has nothing to do with what you can or can't do. Don't ever think it does. Your level of achievement, nope. Or any other condition. Your value as a human being is completely 100,000%. I hate using percentages above 100 because there's no such thing. But 100% unconditional. You're alive, you're human, you have value. Simple as that. From the second you're born Your parents have value you. Your family values you. It's you have value. And if you're in a real screwed up situation and your parents don't want you and they gave you up for adoption, somebody eventually down the road had value in you, right? Probably the second you were handed over, someone had value in you and wanted to take care of you. Whether it was social worker, whether it was whatever. I don't know too much about how the whole process works. But then your parents, your foster parents, your the people that adopted you, whatever, they had value. And even if you went somehow, if you survived through one thing I would never want to do, surviving through the foster system all the way until 18 when you're an adult, there's still people along the way that value you. Now, self-confidence, on the other hand, a little pause here, give your mind a little break. Self-esteem is what we just talked about. Self-confidence, now we're going to start talking about, is based on your abilities, what you can do, what you can't do. Self-confidence is conditional, and the more better you can do something, the more confidence you are going to have. One of my friends, David, he was a more, let's say, fluffy, as Stitch said in Lilo and Stitch, fluffier guy. He started going to the gym. He started learning things about psychology from me. He started applying it in his business, his personal life, things like that. His confidence spiked. So the more we do things better, the more we feel better about ourselves, our self-confidence spikes. Except for death, remember, self-esteem is our value. Except for death, nothing can ever take away your value you have as a human being. Nothing. I can't do it. Your friends can't do it. Your family can't do it. If everybody turns against you on the single second, that doesn't do it. Nothing. Death is the worst thing that can possibly happen to you. And guess what? It's gonna happen anyway. And you know that, and I know that. In fact, it is the only thing that we are guaranteed in life. So if the worst thing that can ever happen is already going to happen, then what is there to be afraid of? Really, what is there to be afraid of? I just told you that you have immense value. You have self-esteem, which gives you massive value to anybody. And then self-confidence, if you strive and focus on your strengths, you're going to get even more. So if we know death is coming, we don't have really anything to be afraid of. Because this is the problem. Most people see their worth in their capabilities and achievements. They naturally start comparing themselves with others. And it happens when we're kids. The act of comparing ourselves to people, comparison is so bad. And that's the thing where it kind of bridges from blame to comparing. We see our worth and our capabilities and achievements, and then we start comparing ourselves to other people to make ourselves feel better. Other people start comparing us. If you get in an argument with your child and he tells you that blah blah blah's parent is better than you, oof, a kid just took a swipe at you, huh? That little 7-year-old just took you out. Or your spouse tells you that sex was a lot better in one of his or her past relationships. Your spouse randomly says that blah 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 is more attractive than you. Then we start comparing. Once again, it's us, the gate. We're taking it. Hot air, taking and putting meaning to it, catering to our own insecurities, and then boom, starts affecting us. Here's a point. Alan Weiss has this saying, there is always a bigger boat. And I know it's an older saying and it goes beyond him, but he uses it a lot. There's always a bigger boat. This is a guy that owns, like, I think three Bentleys, and he's not like rapper money, like, type thing. He built an empire with his consulting firm. He lives in Rhode Island. He does like public speaking. He's really, really cool. Older gentleman, absolutely love him. If you want to like hear some cool thoughts and new ways of thinking, he's actually the one that first taught me about the finding a common viewpoint and then challenging it and then going and doing like teachings and things like that. And like that's how you get a lot of like people to notice you and things like that. Really smart guy. But this guy has crazy amounts of Bentleys. He has a Corvette. He has this huge house. This guy has money. And he says, there's always a bigger bow. There is. This is a guy that built an empire on a consulting firm on. He worked with clients like Dell, HP, Coke, Pepsi, like all these crazy huge IBM, H did I say HP already? Yeah, I think I did. All these huge companies consulting. $126,000 a year contracts with multiple companies, and some of them are even more than that. This guy knows how to sell, how to get with big companies, how to teach. This guy is awesome. But there's always a bigger boat. There is. And if we compare ourselves, that's bad. It really is, because the act of comparing yourself with someone else is the absolutely very first step to becoming their enemy. It's interesting, like those things I said before, some blah 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 is a better parent than you. Whoops, comparison, and now boom, you're up against them. See? Comparison, competition usually creates an enemy dynamic. But sometimes it can't, or sometimes it won't because two people have their head on level. But most times, any type of competition is going to create, especially when it's comparison. There could be competition without comparison. But if there's comparison, that's the best way to create an enemy. There's always going to be someone who is more attractive, more wealthier, better with women, better with business, better with psychology, more intelligent than you. There's always going to be someone. Someone has a better car, someone has a bigger boat, someone has a better house, someone seems more happier than you, someone has better conversation skills, someone spells better, someone does math better. It's always going to happen. It's about catering to your strengths. We feel powerful and confident when things are going our way, and then weak and pathetic when we are knocked down by life. I've been doing this for so long, doing this whole mental evaluation, that when I get knocked down by life, I love it. I will not, I'm not lying to you. I absolutely love it. Maybe in the second I'll be disturbed and messed up and out of focus, but within a couple minutes, couple days, today, or yet, whatever, we're 3:51 or whatever right now. It was my birthday. It went to complete crap. I was supposed to hang out with somebody. They had to cancel because of reasons outside their control, which I don't blame them for. There's nothing they could have done to change that. Then I went out to go do some work. That did not work out well at all. And I just was at home. I went back home and I just kind of sat there and just read a little bit, and kind of a lazy day compared to what I normally do. And it was crap. But right now I'm doing this podcast, and at the beginning of it, I was kind of feeling like dreary. I'm exhausted. It's almost 4 o'clock right now, and I didn't really want to do it. Like I said, motivation starts going away. Motivation, yeah, it's something new, but I've been doing it for almost a week now, and now it's fading. My new motivation is to go to the gym and eat healthier because I eat like crap, just total crap. But we need to make sure that when we get knocked down, we stand up for it. And like I said, I'm not lying. I love, 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 love when I get kicked in the face. Love it. As long as it doesn't completely destroy me, bring it on. Bring it on. If I lost everything all in one shot, like I lost my home, lost all my friends, lost my family, lost all everything in one shot, I'd like to think that I wouldn't enjoy that or ever really like come. I mean, I'd come back out of it because I'm a fighter, but I don't think I would enjoy it at any point. But the big thing is a quote by Leo Tolstoy, everyone thinks of changing the world, but no one thinks ever of changing himself. Everyone thinks of changing the world, but no one thinks of changing himself. Like I said, our mind is the most important thing and incredible thing, most powerful thing. And we can affect other people, we can help other people, we can hurt other people with it. But the reality is, you're not going to change the world if you can't change yourself first. If you don't have the power and self-control and the knowledge to change something about you, then you will never have power to change the world. You will never have power. And it's interesting because you don't have to change the world all that much. You make a community better, you make someone's life better, you're starting to change worlds for people. But first, you have to change yourself. And that's interesting with this journey now that you're going through. You are changing yourself. You are learning. You're taking that first step that's going to now make you powerful. Especially if you don't feel pathetic and weak when you get knocked down. If you start applying the things in this podcast, you will be so incredibly strong. And it's interesting because watching this podcast and watching how many people listen to it, and there's not a lot, there's like 7 or 8 people at this point. But if you look at Gary Vaynerchuk's first wine videos, there were so little people watching. And then by the time he was done doing his wine like videos every day, there was like, I think it was like hundreds of thousands, if not a million views of them. So it starts slow, but it's interesting and it saddens me because there's a lot of people that started listening to this and listened to the first two, whether it was because they had motivation, whether they were being supportive of me or whatever. And they started listening to it and now they're not listening to it anymore. Like I'm handing this gem right into their hand to teach them all this information that I spent almost my whole entire lifetime learning. And I would say it's not impressive because I'm only 26 years old, but I have studied this stuff more so than most people I know that are twice my age because I get super intense into stuff. So I have all this knowledge that I want to give to other people, but a lot of people have just kind of stopped. And the reason why I'm using that is because if you're still listening right now, if you are here listening to episode 6 with me, which is almost at an hour length, as my voice cracks, I'm super tired. If you're still listening, congratulations. Because the motivation's worn off. The focus is worn, like, the absolute focus has worn off. One person I actually thought was going to be listening to them constantly every single day has stopped. The one person that I was like, no, they'll keep up with it. And nope. And that's the thing. Think people, life things, like they all get in the way. But we need to make time and focus on what is important to us, what our goals are, and keep that drive and focus. That's what the 1% have. That's what the 1% have. Drive and that focus. Let me tell you, after working for many, many years and focusing on your job, there's one day where you're going to be able to coast. If you do everything the right way, you'll be able to sit on a beach somewhere with a laptop in your hand, or maybe not even a laptop. You just enjoy a vacation. I've gotten to the point when I was like 19, I'd go out to Six Flags and check my bank account from my phone and literally watch it grow as I was at Six Flags. Spending a crap ton of money because I was way too crazy with my money back then. But I could literally be spending $100 to $200, if not more, at Six Flags that day and still watch my bank account grow by $500 to $600. Oop, got a client. Oop, somebody bought this product. Oop, somebody did this. Oop, somebody booked a coaching session. Oop, and just money, 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 money. So you can do that. You can get to the point where you are have so many income streams that's self-sufficient and literally nothing can take you out. Oh, I lost one income stream. Oh, well, I'll go build another one. I'm bored. I haven't done work in 4 months. I've been on vacation in Honolulu and the, Mexican island like islands and things. That's what you can do, but you have to put the effort and the work and the time in it, and you have to learn and structure and focus and keep moving forward. Because if you don't keep moving forward, like I said, there is only two directions in business and success: forward or up the hill and rolling down it. That's all there is. There's no coasting. It's a stinking mountain you have to climb. And there's gonna be times like you feel like you're riding down a hill and it feels nice, but then whoops, that hill's a little taller than the one I just popped down. And if the funny thing is, if you're going down that downhill and you don't build up speed for that next uphill, you are going to get wailed on. And maybe you can crawl out of it. Maybe your bike, you know, maybe you give up the bike and go back to crawling up this mountain, digging your fingers in, feeling the blood run down your arms. Maybe you can get out of it. But it's a lot easier to just keep your momentum going. But that's the thing with this podcast. That's why I want people to listen. I'm giving you all this information, all this stuff that you can use, and I'm breaking it down and putting it in a plan and helping you fix that. But it's up to you guys. But if you're still here and you're still listening to episode 6, we're almost at a week now. If you're listening to episode 6 right now, congratulations. Because you're showing more effort than if I broke it down to a percentage now, 95%. 95% of my viewers have dropped off. And that's normal. It's normal. I'm not marketing this podcast. I'm giving the people that are close to me a special advantage to learn it before everybody else. And that's it. So if you're still here and you're listening to 6, and you don't have to listen to 6 the day it comes out, but if you're still listening to it and you're keeping up with the podcast as like within a week, then good for you. Good for you. Anyhow, guys, I am nearing the 60-minute mark. This is the longest podcast that I've done, and I don't want to hit the 60-minute mark because then it shuts off automatically. But that's about it, guys, for that. We're going to have maybe one or two more parts to this, and then the mindset module, or in this aspect as far as like the way our mind can be a prison and the operating system and all that stuff, it's going to be done. We're going to be going on to something else, and I'm pretty excited about that. I don't know what I'm going to do for the next part. I have a few ideas, but I want to boil it down and keep kind of a steady flow from one module to the next. But that's about it, guys. I am going to go hit my bed harder than I possibly have ever hit it before. And I am going to be glad that my birthday is over, thank God. But yeah. So once again, my name is Connor Gilson, and I am the weakest link. Just kidding. Goodbye. No, I am the president of CG Consulting, and I'll be seeing you guys tomorrow. Have a good rest of your night. Bye.